I just realised I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm going to have to make it hypothetical because you're paleo. So, assuming you ate tomato sauce, do you keep it in the cupboard or the fridge?
Well, I do eat tomato sauce, but it's not the variety that most people would consume because mine has no sugar in it and no crap. So, mine has to stay in the fridge.
Okay. So, if before paleo were you a cupboard or fridge person?
Fridge. It says it on the bottle. It
goes in the cupboard.
It says refrigerate after opening on the bottle. You have a read.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, but it doesn't. You don't put it back in the fridge.
Haven't you ever had all the fungusy green mold stuff growing on yours in the cupboard? Or you just scrape that off?
Well, I don't eat it. The kids do, and they're still living, so I'm sure they're fine.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
Welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show. Great to have you with us, listeners. We've got another cracking episode today. But before we get into that, if you haven't done this already, give yourself a slap around the head and then go to tradiesbusinessshow.com. Don't slap yourself too hard because you need to be able to see the screen to put your name in there. Oh. And and download your copy, your very own copy of the Get Off the Tools Guide. It's free, as in it doesn't cost you anything. It's 9 steps to getting you off the tools and into true business ownership, which today's guest is well on the way to doing after just a couple of years in business. So today we're talking to Mike Piercy from Cornerstone Landscapes in good old Sydney town. Mike, he tells us this in the interview, but Mike has listened to every single episode of the Tradies Business Show. Now, we didn't know that before we got him on. Otherwise, we definitely would have got him
on. A lot sooner. Maybe we should, you know, because I think, well, you know, he has followed some of our advice. It's pretty obvious. You can hear what
clearly.
You know. Yeah. We should have profit shared or something.
Yes. We hit him up.
Yeah.
Come on. We own part of your business, Mike.
We gave you all this free coaching.
Yeah, come
advice.
On. Well, I wonder if he's making any profits. We don't want to share of any losses. Anyway, so Mike has built no pun intended, a landscaping business from scratch. Great guy, very focused on, I guess, the new way of doing business as a tradie. And there's kind of this new wave of tradie business owners, isn't there, Michaela?
There is. We were just talking about that. I know another popular guest we had was Jeremy Watson. Mm. Very, very similar in focus. Both love systems, so, I mean, of course they're going to succeed because they invest in their systems.
Yeah, well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Yes. So it's really interesting to see this very similar mindset, self-awareness, and prioritising the things that they know will make a difference to the long-term growth of their business. And, you know, he's focused on getting off the tools by the time he's 30. So he's putting those steps in place now, a few years to get to there. So obviously he got to get off the tools guide.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, as well. Yeah. Well, he kind of got it because he listened to every episode of the show. So he's had it, you know, every week. fancy having us every week.
It's been like 60 hours.
100 odd weeks.
It's like 60 hours. It could be torture, you know, having us.
We're like besties.
We're virtual besties.
Virtual besties. How do you become virtual? Well, I guess that's what social media is for. Anyway, we're prattling now. If you want to find out more about Mike's business, Cornerstone Landscapes, and if you're in Sydney, I reckon you probably should because this guy's got his you-know-what together, go to the internet and type in something.
Cornerstonelandscapes.com.au.
Nice.
We did forget to ask him, so we're doing it now. So Cornerstone Landscapes in Sydney.
Awesome, and strap yourself in for another Real Tradie Story.
Because these are our most popular episodes, our Real Tradie Stories.
And Mike, I hope we did you justice, mate. Joining us today at the Tradies Business Show is actually one of our listeners and a Tradies Business Toolkit member. Welcome to the show, Mike Piercy from Cornerstone Landscapes.
G'day, Warwick. G'day, Michaela. G'day, listeners.
Good to have you with us, mate. So, for our listeners that don't know you, which is probably all but 3 of them, mate, tell us.
We only have 4.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about Mike, the man, the legend, and Cornerstone Landscapes and how you got to be chatting to us two beautiful people today, mate.
Okay. Well, firstly, thanks for having me. I have been a listener since day one. I've listened to every one of your podcasts, minus one that's sitting there ready to go.
We like to hear that, mate. Brownie points galore for you, buddy.
I just feel sorry for you.
But Cornerstone Landscapes started nearly 2 years ago now. I started off as a sole trader after doing my apprenticeship down here in Sydney. And it started because... for a few reasons, I wanted the challenge. I wanted a bit of flexibility around my life, which probably wasn't what I got in the early days. But that's a young business. And the challenge was the main thing. But also, I was working for a company that I was desperate to get involved more with, and they didn't quite have the scope to allow me to grow as a tradesman. So I figured, you know, I was young, I'll give it a go. I don't have too many financial commitments at this stage, so let's give it a go and see where we end up, basically.
Have a crack. I love it, mate. I love hearing of people who just go, you know what, I'm going to have a crack. Good Aussie go.
Yeah, I think there's a few sleepless nights along with that attitude, but I couldn't be happier with where I'm sitting today. So.
So how long have you been in business now?
So nearly 2 years. I started at the start of the financial year, so as we sort of a month away from turning two.
And you're still in business, mate. So you've survived perhaps the most risky couple of years of a business's life. And apart from
apart from
listening to the Tradies Business Show, mate, what's been, and I will ask you shortly what your favourite episode is, but what's been some of the secrets to getting this far, mate, and perhaps what's some of your biggest lessons in actually getting this thing up and running?
Okay, that's a good question. I think secrets. I think any person, any tradesman that's a good tradesman when they're about to start a business generally thinks that because they're a good tradesman, along with that will come a successful business, which is not the case. We work through a process of from a sales procedure through service delivery, a 17-step process, and only one of those 17 steps actually involves installing the work or implementing what we've quoted on. So. That would be probably something that I've learned the most, that running a business isn't going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, laying some tiles and then coming home at 3:30. It's the phone calls at Smoko. It's the late night emails. It's the selling when you don't want to be selling and you're exhausted. It's a whole lot that I don't think anybody can really be prepared for, but I think in a way you can be prepared for it with certain structures in place before you start.
So what are some of those 17 steps, mate? Because it's something that Michaela and I talk about, and I know I work on with my wingman clients, is having a sales process. What are some of your steps in your process without giving away your intellectual property, mate?
Okay. They're sitting right in front of me as I sit here in my office. They're up on the wall. So it's everything from, you know, when you book a consultation with a potential client, and then when that consult's completed, and then through the quote sent, follow-up call, quote accepted, payment schedule sent, applying for the relevant insurances for the job, commencing the work, completing the work, sending off invoices and when to do so. And each one of those stages is linked to a section in a folder that sits in my office as well. So anybody can be in the office and they can see how they can get a client from one stage to the next. Anybody can do that, really. So that's basically what we've got going on here.
So, you know, I love a good process. It gets me all excited.
I know.
How have you found implementing that has changed the way you operate, the amount of time you spend on the business? Like, what effects has that had on the business?
Insane. It was hugely therapeutic to go through and just write down everything that's involved in the business. As a business owner, you start a business thinking that you're the only one that can do everything. And I think it's until you put everything down onto a piece of paper, it actually shows how disrespectful you are to everyone else and how simple a lot of the things that you do are. So in saying that, anybody can come in and get us from the next step in one of our leaps in the sales process or the service delivery process, other than work commit, completing the work, obviously, but everything else is very simple. It's changed. My wife now does a lot of the office stuff in her spare time in between looking after our son. So yeah, it's just freed me up. It's freed my mind up. It's freed my mind up immensely because I just know exactly where each client stands. I don't have to think, oh, Tony Jones is I need to send that to Tony Jones. I walk into my office and I know where Tony Jones stands and what I need to do to get him along the way and signed up as a customer.
So have you seen that shorten your sales process and increase conversions? Like, have you actually seen the changes there?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think if you give every customer the same service, then you'll see that you won't just be signing the ones that you went out to quote for when you were full of beans. You'll keep signing the ones when you're exhausted and you're quoting, and they still get the same level of service because they're literally receiving templated emails that sound chirpy, but really it's just someone sitting in an office clicking a few buttons, and it makes them feel good, but it takes us no time.
A lot of tradies, I find, get the guilts about that sort of stuff where they're against sales scripts and templated emails, and because you see the same stuff going out to all those different clients, and it probably feels a little unauthentic or whatever the right word is. But has that been a thing for you, Mike? And if so, how have you dealt with that, mate?
I think when we have for example, a template for our final payment or sending our final invoice, and I think you adjust that slightly depending on how the job went and sort of where you're at with the customer. But other than that, no, I don't feel any guilt. If you have any repeat service, you probably need to be careful. But as a landscaper, we don't deal with a huge amount of repeat service. And to be honest, these days people are so busy. They want to get their quote. They don't really care about the airy-fairy stuff. Even though we put some in there, we put it in there once and we don't waste any time doing it more than once. So
mate, I'm interested to find out a bit about, I guess, some of your big wins in the last couple of years. You know, you're a young business, but you must have had some fist pump moments where things came together well, or you developed a system that really just saved you a lot of time. And can you remember some of those, mate? It's probably been a pretty pretty light speed journey over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I signed a client recently for a pretty big project, and they were the first client that was essentially a victim to our new process. So I was nervous. It was a job I didn't want to lose, but I had to give this thing a go. I'd invested so much time in it. I had to give it a go, and I would have preferred to have probably trialed it on a smaller job. But you know, I similar attitude to what we said earlier in the show. I wanted to just have a crack, and it was seamless. They for our projects over a certain size, we actually meet up with the client and run through the quote rather than sending the email. Mm-hmm. So when we sat down, we had touch base a few times via phone calls and emails, and I got a feeling in the room that this wasn't anything to do with the final price. Obviously, to an extent it did, but they were so happy with the service that they had received that usually you get the client rushing to look at the amount at the bottom of the page, but instead these guys were just very interested in the detail that I'd written in the quote, and then the final number was fine. They actually said, can we chuck a few more bits and pieces in here? So that I walked out of that consult and I couldn't believe it, and I just thought I can use this model now for hopefully the rest of my life. So
that's right. Can you share the size of the job, mate? Like you said, it was a substantial job, but
yeah, that was a $66,000 job. So that's pretty big.
That's a lot of turf, mate.
That's a pretty good return on the time you would have put in to put in that sales process already, I would imagine.
Well, that's right. I mean, they came as a referral from us, so we didn't have to spend any money to win them. But I looked at the time I invested in the sales process as our marketing budget for them, and it's already paid for itself. So, yeah,
and so
couldn't have been happier.
Awesome. Congratulations on that.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. And mate, it's important to celebrate those wins. I think we go along this business journey, and whether it's a small one or a big one, we often do stop to think, hang on, we actually did a really good job, and, you know, be proud of ourselves. So it's good that, you know, you're recognising that and making sure you celebrate it. So,
absolutely.
So when businesses are starting out, one of their big things is getting customers, getting leads. How did you sort of market yourself and deal with that in the first couple of years?
Well, I was very lucky. I had a family friend that was looking to get some tiling done around their swimming pool, which tied me up for a good month or so. So they gave me a great leg up into the industry. And then other than that, we use Hipages and Service Seeking. I haven't found the need to implement a marketing plan as such. I've got one sitting here ready to go, but the work is just coming in quite easily that we haven't needed to sort of pull the trigger on too much marketing wise. So Hipages, word of mouth, Service Seeking, these sort of internet based apps seem to be getting a lot of young startups through, and I think it's great. I think it's good.
Mate, anything that you would do differently in that respect? I mean, you did say like it hasn't been all tea and roses for the first 2 years of your business, but anything you would have done differently looking back?
Yeah, processes and procedures done as early as possible. Get them done. If you know you're going to need them eventually, just do them. I was a sole trader for a good year, and I knew what was going on in the business, so I didn't really need to do too much. But if you can even get stuff done before you start, your time is just sucked up by just the day-to-day running of the business, that finding time to work on the business is quite hard. So if you can get in as much in place, especially sales procedure wise, do that. I couldn't recommend that highly enough. I know I've been banging on a bit about it today, but it's the key to business, in my opinion.
Mm. And you talk about time there, Mike, and actually, I guess struggling to have time to work on the business, this whole mythical on the business time that we need to spend. How do you go about setting that time aside? I mean, do you have a system for that? Is it just haphazard? You know, you get to it when you can. What's your approach to that?
I've got a system for absolutely everything. So yes, I do. I've got a young son now. He's about to turn one. So for me, spending time with him and my wife is hugely important. So I try and finish work around 3:30, 4 o'clock. If it runs later, it runs later. And then I come home and I spend a good couple of hours with them, doing what we do, going for walks and whatnot. And that's set aside. And then when he goes to bed, my wife and I have dinner, and then I'm in the office. And it's the same every day. And that just gives me so much confidence, because I know I've got that time set aside. I don't have to worry about, oh, when am I going to get this done? When am I going to shoot off this quote to Tony Jones? I know that I'm going to have time to get into the office tonight because it's set aside already, and you work your quoting around that, and you work any other meetings around that stuff you've already got set aside.
Cool. So what are some of the things, I guess, that you're struggling with now? Like what, you know, is there a particular area of the business that is keeping you up at night now?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. As Warwick said, it's not all roses. I particularly loved your podcast with the author of Practical Perfection.
Kelly Exeter.
And anyone struggling with being a perfectionist should go back and have a listen. I was doing exactly that.
I'll give her a plug there. Yes, she'll buy a book.
She'd probably prefer that. I was struggling with that big time. I was actually, my apprentice was at TAFE, so I had the headphones in that day, and I was listening to that podcast as I was going through exactly what she was saying, and I was exhausting myself and trying to make everything perfect, and it's impossible. and you can do the best you can do, and that's pretty much it. So my issues are delivering to a client that's an excellent job, but not to the point where it's killing me to do so, basically. And I've had to work on that. It's very hard, very hard.
So what I just want to dig a little deeper into that, Mike, because it is an affliction for a lot of tradespeople, sure, funnily enough, where, you know, you've come to be in business because you've had that trade, and, you know, lots of great craftsmen out there, really, that are very, very proud of their work and sort of hang their hat on the quality of their workmanship. But how do you actually stop being a perfectionist when you kind of are one? I mean, did you just miraculously wake up one day and go, eh, you know what, I'm going to stop being a perfectionist today? How do you do that on a day-to-day basis, mate?
Well, it's definitely a work in progress. I think I was having problems with seeing things in jobs. As a tradesman, you see a lot more than the client does in terms of little deviations in a bit of timber or a space in between two tiles. And I was never letting the client's compliments come into my mind. And I was only ever concerned when I heard the back door open that they were going to come out and spot that little bit of warp in the timber. And a lot of it was to do with just communicating to myself and saying, these guys are so happy with what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. The testimonials that are coming back are very good. I was just being too hard on myself, really. You need to communicate with you. Well, that's what worked for me. I communicated with myself, and I told people around me. I when I was really struggling with it all, I would email my wife some testimonials and say, when I'm struggling, read these back to me, which is probably not a very tradesman way of dealing with things. I'm probably the new generation of tradesmen, but that's what I needed to do to convince myself that I was good at running this business and I was a good tradesman.
But it's a good point, Mike, because we are in the current age. If any of our listeners are out there sort of poo-pooing any of this stuff, it's like the market has moved. Consumers are living today. They're not living 10 years ago where it was good enough that you did a great job, or maybe 15 or 20 years ago. You actually have to be approaching your business a little differently. And I like what you say about enlisting the support of people outside of yourself as a mechanism for catching that perfectionism behavior, or perhaps a reminder, you know, if you start whining about things, it's like rather than just smack you in the head, it's get you to read some testimonials that you've received.
And it's also having that real increased self-awareness as this is what you're doing. I mean, it's great to hear that, yeah, it's not like every other trade, but that's why we do the show, is so that, you know, the mindset and things like systems are so critical that have been left for so long, but in particular mindset and having that self-awareness and doing something about it, not just listening to all the negative talk.
That's right. And going back to what you said a little bit earlier, Michaela, about celebrating those little wins, I was certainly in the habit of finishing a job, getting the feedback from a client, just printed it off, stored it. There was no reason for me to even get the feedback because I wasn't acknowledging it, and I'd just move on to the next job and stress about the next job. But now I'd certainly celebrate those little wins, you know. Even if it's just a little conversation with someone outside of the business, it did great things for my mindset. And to be honest, if I didn't implement it, I don't know if I'd still be in business now. So,
Good pickup, mate. So, Mike, what's next then for Cornerstone Landscapes? I mean, what did you have a vision when you started the business, and do you still have that, and how's it changed?
Yes, I do have a vision. I want to, firstly, short term, I want to keep working on these procedures. I'm a believer that everything in a business could be documented and have a manual on it. So I'm going to spend the rest of the year doing that, and to use the landscaper's term, use that as my foundation for moving forward and growing with that, and having the confidence in my systems that allow me to grow. And then long term, I'm 26 now. My goal since starting this at 24 was to be off site by 30. Now that's going to take some work, but it's still my absolute number one goal. And we'll just have to see how I'm going at 30. But I feel with these sales procedures and service delivery manuals that I can get there pretty easily, and with a good team. Obviously, we haven't even touched on employees, but yeah, that's where I'm aiming for.
Yeah, nice, mate. Hey, I've heard there's a thing called a mastermind group spin-off from the show. There's some good people in there, mate. Might be able to give you some tips.
Yeah. Cheeky plug.
Shameless plug. Yeah, yeah. Well, it is our show after all. But
Fair enough.
So touching on teams, how do you go about, you know, managing those staffing headaches that everyone seems to have?
Well, we're small. It's only an apprentice and myself at this stage. I've been through a number of employees that weren't right. So I'm keeping it small while I get these systems in place. And then, as I said, I can grow from there. But I think making your workers feel valued is the most important thing. With my new apprentice, I had a new approach where before we even lifted a shovel, we sat down and we talked about what he wanted to get out of this apprenticeship and what I could do for him to get him through it. And then we jotted down a list of KPIs that we revisited after a month, and we ticked all of them off, and he got a little bit of a reward. And then we did that the following month, and now we're, because he's into his apprenticeship now, we do it every 3 months just to keep him focused on learning and attending TAFE, and just to keep him excited about earning some money for me, basically. He knows that he earns me more money than he earns more money himself. And no business owner should be ashamed of saying that to their employees, but there's got to be a mutual level of respect. I think gone are the days where we treat our employees like crap, and you're only going to get money out of them if you treat them well. So that's my theory on employees.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, mate. We're all people after all, and we just want to be appreciated and understand how we fit into a business.
Exactly.
So, Mike, let's put you on the stage, mate. Hypothetically speaking, if you had 1,000 tradies in the room and you're up on the big stage, mate.
Now, you've heard every episode, so we've got a big expectation of your 1,000 tradie question, because you would have known it was coming.
What's your one piece of advice, mate?
Can I give a few? Or can I give...
Yes, you can. We'll leave.
You can give three.
Only because you're a toolkit member.
Special privileges.
I think my overall approach is to try and take as much pressure off yourself as you can. And by doing that is implementing systems and talking to people around you and communicating clearly with your clients, because you want to get as little in your head as possible and as much on paper as possible. And if that frees you up mentally, you can do a lot more on the business, and you're much more relatable to your employees and your clients, basically. So I think taking the pressure off, but you need to do a bit of work before you can take the pressure off. You can't just float through a business. You need to implement things to allow you to take your foot off the gas every so often.
Cool. Was that three or was that just one, mate?
Oh, I don't know.
That sounded like one really good one. Oh, well, it is an awesome piece of advice, mate. No, we're going to leave it in now that you said that. So, it's definitely a big thing of having. And I just want to ask another question around that whole systems thing. They don't have to be complicated, sure. Do they, mate? Like, simple is best, yeah?
Mate, they are so simple. And that's what I go back to about offending people that you didn't think could do it for you. They are so simple. It's just written on Word. Documents are hyperlinked. It's ridiculous.
Cool, mate. Well, look, I know Michaela is a procedure and systems addict, and I reluctantly accept that I need to create some occasionally. I still haven't done any, really, but
that's why someone listens to me.
That's why I have a business partner. Mate, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been awesome to hear a bit more about you. I know we see you in the toolkit now and then, and I think I've seen you pop up on the Wednesday night live sessions for toolkit members.
Yeah, I think I missed the end of the last one. Yep.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good thing. But
we're probably cutting into his wife time.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
8 p.m. on a Wednesday night. That's family time, is it, mate? Or are you in the office by then?
Office by then.
So you're looking for opportunities to procrastinate and avoid that bookwork, mate.
Guilty.
Nice. Well, look, Great to have you on the show, mate. Awesome to have you in the Tradies Business Toolkit as well. And always love to hear from people who have been long-time listeners to the show. We really appreciate your following, mate, and glad that it's actually contributed positively to to your trade business, Mike.
Definitely. Thanks very much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Cool,
thanks,
man. Pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Go the Blues.
Leave that in. Leave it in.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.